One of the most important people in my life growing up, especially in high school, was the youth director at my church. Her name was Tracy Harrington. And Tracy was just a fantastic young woman that really was instrumental in my life. God's use of her is how I got into ministry to begin with. She was really influential in my life. A wonderful woman who was just able to walk that fine line between being an authority and someone you truly respect and want to impress, but also being really approachable and a good friend. She was not paid very much at all, though. She was a very underappreciated resource by the church, quite frankly, and so she wasn't paid very well. And I remember once during Bible study at her little apartment, we were talking about money and we were talking about stewardship and things like this, and we knew that she wasn't paid very well. And somebody just asked her, "Tracy, how can you continue to give to the church? How can you continue?" She supported one of these children from Compassion International. "How can you continue to give to Compassion International and all these other ministries that you support? Aren't you worried about not having enough for rent? Aren't you worried about not having enough for your food?" And I'll never forget how Tracy responded, and I can paint the picture of the scene in my head very well. She said it so matter-of-factly, but she just looked at us all and she said, "I'm too poor not to give. I'm too poor not to give." For her, giving and continuing to give to the Lord, it showed that she trusted in God and in God's provision. In our gospel, Jesus says to his disciples, "I tell you not to worry about your life. Don't worry about having something to eat or wear. Life is more than food or clothing. Can worry make you live longer? If you don't have power over small things, why worry about everything else? Don't keep worrying about having something to eat or drink. Only people who don't know God are always worrying about such things. Your Father knows what you need." Worry, and worry's friend fear, are the enemy of faith and trust, and they are the first obstacle that stands in the way of being a faithful steward of what God has given us. See, Scripture does teach us that all we have, our money, our assets, our property, our gifts, our talents, the things that are growing in our gardens, even our very lives, all of it belongs to the Lord. It is gifted to us. It is entrusted to us by God. And stewardship is being a faithful caretaker and manager of what God has given us. God has entrusted these things to us. Whether it's large or small, you are a steward of the Lord. But when we have worry, when we have fear, we don't see things this way. When we worry, what we do is we take our eyes off of the one who gave us the gift, and instead we start looking only at the gift itself. And so then when we lose sight of the giver and look only at the gifts, these things no longer are gifts. Instead, they're things to pursue. And they become things that we fret over. They become needful things. The fear of not having what we want, whether it's a perk in life or improvement in our lifestyle or the basic necessities of life, these can become obsessions. It makes me think often of my kids, specifically two certain young women in my family who had, especially when they were even younger than they are now, a real love for small little toys. And I think of the youngest girl in my family, who will go unnamed for her own protection, would just love these little things. And there'd be times where she'd walk around the house and she'd pick up another little guy and another little guy, and she'd see another one. And in her pursuit of that other one, she'd start dropping some of the things that were in her hand. And she'd pick that up and go back over here and pick that up and drop another one and go back and forth. And if you would try to take one of these things from her, hell was let loose. And then you were the one that would fear and worry. We become obsessed. When we look at these things, they no longer become gifts when we take our eyes off the giver and we look only at the things in our possession or the things that we don't yet have. It would have been really easy for Tracy to worry about what she did not have. She could have worried about how she was going to pay for her food, pay for rent, pay for gas, but as far as we saw, she never did. Instead, she faithfully committed to continue to be a giver. She lived like the prophet Malachi tells us to live. She put God's promises to the test by giving to God that which is owed to God. She put the promise of God to the test, and God proved himself to her. She understood that what she had, even if it was little, was given to her by God. It was a gift to be appreciated and a gift to be entrusted with. She understood that what she had it for a reason. Our Lord gives us great promises in our passages today. Promises that begin, I think, with our gospel passage from Luke, where Jesus tells us himself, "Do not be afraid, because God, your Father," it's not God, my Father. He says, God, your Father knows what you need. In fact, based on this promise, Jesus tells his disciples, he implores them, be free to sell your stuff if you want to. Be free to give freely to the poor, because God is going to watch out for your needs. God is your Father. You have no cause to worry or fear. From Psalm 62, we hear another promise. We hear, I heard God say two things. I am powerful and I am very kind. Our Father not only has the power to supply and to satisfy our needs, but he is kind and loving with that power. That's an amazing promise. When I think of a good father, this is what I think of. I think of kindness coupled with strength. And that's who God our Father is. Before we close on this week, there's one common theme in all these passages that needs to be highlighted. And that theme is that the Lord has a purpose. God has a purpose for your time, for your gifts, for your treasure, for all the things that he has blessed you with. God has a purpose. But it's key to note something. God doesn't need them. God doesn't need those things that he has given you. But he desires to use them because someone else does need them. Sounds cliche, but it's true that God has given what you have for a purpose. And that purpose is to use you in order to produce faith and trust in the Lord just as we have faith and trust in the Lord. God has blessed you richly. Even if it isn't in material wealth, we remember that we are richly blessed in God's mercy, blessed with God's grace, blessed with the richness that comes from the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, who in 2 Corinthians we hear that he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. May God your Father fully satisfy every need of yours according to the grace of Jesus Christ and his riches in his glory. Amen.